Amen. All right, Genesis chapter 1. I want to go there. And then we're going to go to Acts chapter 2. I want to talk about Pentecost this morning. You know, the Holy Spirit today is more ignored than he is denied. Relegating him to a back room somewhere, if there's any tongue speech, it seems like people feel like they have to explain themselves. I've seen pastors do that. And it breaks my heart. I think about when Jesus went into the temple and he saw them selling animals for sacrifice. He saw the dishonesty that was going on. But he also saw them caging doves. I want you to think about that for a moment. Caging a dove. A dove representing the Holy Spirit. And I believe that's what angered him. And the Bible says he released those doves, and he began to take a whip and drive them out of the temple. So the Holy Ghost is important to God's house and to the worship of Almighty God. Amen? And I want to talk about the Holy Ghost this morning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. So glad you're here. If you're a visitor, thank God that you're here. Amen. This is the greatest church on the planet in my book. So glad you're here. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God was a baseball fan. Amen. This was the big inning. All right. In the beginning, God, shout God, created the heaven and the earth. Verse 2. And the earth was without form and void. The earth was empty. It was void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, shout the Holy Ghost, moved upon the face of the waters. And then the next verse, I like this one. He said, let there be light. And light was. But he didn't create the sun, moon, or stars until day number 4. Amen. So I want you to see how the Spirit of God moved upon a dark, empty, void situation and brought life and light to it. Amen. Then I think about John 1 and 1 where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, for without him was anything made that was made. In him was light. And that light was the light, life was the light of men, and the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So the very Logos, the expression of God, amen, was the Spirit of God being declared even in the beginning. And when the Spirit of God moved on the water, it brought life and light to this people planet. And that's the same thing that happens in your life. Maybe there's darkness in your life. Maybe there's a cloud hanging over your head. Maybe your past seems to drag on your coattails. But aren't you glad that we have the Holy Ghost? Amen. He doesn't only have to come upon you, but he can live on the inside of you. Praise God. Acts chapter 2. Go there with me. Acts 2. Shout, here we go. I'm ready. I'm telling you. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And let's read together. We know this, don't we? And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, Pentecost, Penti meaning 50th, this was the 50th day after the Passover, the Passover being the Lord having the Last Supper with his disciples. And of course, the next morning, he's put on a Roman cross to die for the sins of the whole world. He resurrected, shout, he's alive. He walked this earth for 40 days, and then 10 days later, we have the day of Pentecost, 50th. All right, also called the Feast of Weeks, Feast of First Fruits. But here we are, men, Jewish men and women coming together from all corners of Judea and the Roman Empire coming together for the Feast of Pentecost. When it was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Who are they? That's the disciples. That's the 120 that he told to tarry until you be endued with power from on high. I like what he said in Acts 1:4. He says, being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. Now, when we think about wait, we think we just need to stop and watch and wait. But when the like the scripture says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Now, we think that means just be patient and wait. But no, what wait means is like a waitress. You're serving, you're worshiping, you're honoring. Yes, you may be waiting, but while you're waiting, you're serving and worshiping and praising and praying the living God. And that's what they were doing. And he says, for John truly baptized with water, but you, verse 5 of Acts 1, shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. I like that. Shout baptized. Not just filled with the Holy Ghost, but baptized with the Holy Ghost. That was the promise that he told them to wait for. So we go to chapter 2 and verse 2. They were in one mind and one accord. How many realize that in order for us to see a move of the Spirit, we have to be one mind, one heart, and one accord in unity together? It's hard to be in unity with one another when you're mad at people. It's hard to be in unity when you carry offense in your heart towards somebody. There's people sitting in this church right now. You're Holy Ghost filled. You talk in tongues. You worship and magnify God. But you're holding offense towards somebody. And the Lord cannot and will not accept your sacrifice of praise. And in order for the Spirit of God to move on this situation, move upon this church, move upon the new work that we want to do in Winston-Salem, we have to be in one mind and one accord with one vision, one mission, one zealous heart toward the things of God. You believe it? Shout yes. All right. Verse 2. And suddenly, shout suddenly. Who needs a suddenly moment? You just need God to do it right now. Oh, praise God. You've been waiting for a long time, haven't you? But I'm telling you, when you get your mind and heart set on the things of God and you go after him despite your circumstances, a suddenly moment can happen at any time. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing, mighty wind. Jesus said in John 3:8, talking to Nicodemus, he said, the wind blows where it wishes. Nobody knows where it comes from or how it comes or how it goes. Same as the Spirit of God coming upon your heart. Have you ever talked to somebody and it was like talking to a wall? You try to tell them about Jesus, but they just don't get it. They just don't see it. They just can't understand how God would become a man, die on a cross, resurrect to give you and I life. Well, the reason they don't understand that is because they're blinded to it. The Holy Spirit has to unveil. That's why anytime you're witnessing to somebody, talking to your family, coworkers, whoever they are, you must be anointed with the Holy Ghost in order for anything to happen in their lives. I don't care how smart you are, how much scripture you can quote. I know men of God who could quote books of the Bible. They've got letters by their name so big it looks like alphabet soup. But when they get in a pulpit, they're a 6-foot tall icicle, can't win anybody to Christ. And here's the reason why: because they don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Are you saying I need it to go to heaven? Absolutely not. But if you want to do kingdom service in this last day, you must have a fresh outpouring, an endowment with power from on high to do the work of the ministry. And there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Filled all the house where they were sitting. You know, I don't understand everything about the Holy Ghost. Wish I did. I've read several books. My goodness, look at my Bible here. I've been there a time or two, haven't I? But I still don't understand everything about him. I just know he loves me. I know I've grieved him. I've upset him by the way I've lived, where I've went, what I've done, what I've looked at, the decisions I've made. And I also know that he was right there with me the whole time, because he will never leave you nor forsake you, but he will be with you. Hallelujah. Notice the word wind there in that verse. When you look at the word spirit in the Old Testament, you have ruach, which is the breath of God. The very breath of God. When he created Adam out of the dust of the ground, the Bible says he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul at that moment in time. By the Spirit and the presence and power of God. The ruach, the wind of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. and filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it set upon each of them. You know, when I read that verse, I think about Isaiah 4 and verse 4. That calls him the spirit of burning. Hallelujah. The spirit of burning. Malachi 3 says he's like a refiner's fire. 1 Peter 1, 7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried by fire, might be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 4, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you like some strange thing has happened to you. The fire of God purges, doesn't it? So I want you to imagine these men and women with tongues of fire literally setting upon their head, representing the flame and power of the Holy Ghost. And I think about Jeremiah when he said, this word of God is like fire shut up in my bones and I could not stay. Amen. He had a Pentecostal fever, didn't he? Hallelujah. Look at verse number 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now I want you to think about something here. Because Jesus said that they would be baptized. But here the scripture says that they were filled with the Holy Ghost. But I want you to understand the distinction of being filled with the Spirit and being baptized in the Spirit. There's a lot of people sitting here today, I believe you're filled with the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. But I don't know if you're baptized. You say, well, how do I know? Well, let's read. And began, verse 4, to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now I want you to think about this. There was a sign to the covenant of God here. With the promise of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, accompanied by wind, fire, and tongue speech. Now you say, why? I don't know why. So we dig through the scriptures, and we think about scriptures like the power of life and death is in our tongue. Proverbs 13:2, man shall eat good by the fruit of his lips, by what he says, what comes out of his mouth. Jesus said that every idle word that comes out of your mouth, you will give an account for it on the day of judgment. James chapter 3, James tells us that there's one part of the body that we cannot ever tame. And a little spark from that little tongue will cause a forest fire. That's what he said. You can't control your mouth. You've tried, haven't you? Huh? Because what is in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. Now, they were seeking God. They just wasn't casually seeking him. They were seeking him with their whole heart, with everything within them, to see a move of the Spirit, to experience the promise of the Father. And as they were praying, as they were worshiping, that's when the Spirit of God came into that place and filled them with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke with tongues. We go to Acts chapter 10. We see that Peter is sent to the household of Cornelius, and he's there to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Little did he know that while he was preaching, in Acts chapter 10, the Bible says the Holy Ghost fell on them. Oh, hallelujah. I love the old timers when they say, Holy Ghost, fall on me. I used to think to myself, well, if he's omnipresent, how does he fall on you? And then he showed me something in the scripture that not only is he omnipresent, but he has a manifest presence that would be so overwhelming. If we were to stand in that manifest presence, we would be like Isaiah when he said, I am a man of unclean lips. Somebody forgive me of my sin. We would be like John the Revelator. You say, well, falling out in the Spirit isn't biblical. Being slain in the Spirit isn't in the Bible. Oh, I beg the differ, because John the Revelator saw the glory of God and he said, I could not stand in his presence. Oh, I beg the differ. Some of you have just gotten your toe wet. I want you to stick your whole foot in. Get knee deep, waist deep. Let it go over your head and be what Jesus said in the last day, the great day of the feast. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. For he that believeth on me, as the scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. In a dry and thirsty time in your life, the Spirit of God will and can flow. Hallelujah. I'm trying to do this cordial. I am. Every Sunday I get up here and I say, I'm just going to have a nice little sermon. I'm going to chill out. But I am who I am. Amen. I'm sorry. I got to get loud. I'm just excited about what God is doing in my life. Amen. So little did Peter know as he's preaching in Acts 10 that the Holy Ghost would fall on these people. And when the Holy Ghost fell, the Bible says they began to speak with tongues and magnify God. So it wasn't relegated just to the apostles. It was for everybody. Oh. Then we go to Acts 19, the Apostle Paul. He goes to Ephesus, and John the Baptist's disciples are there. And he goes to them and he says, well, I know you're saved. You've been baptized with John's baptism, which was the baptism of repentance, receiving Christ as Lord and Master. But he says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And their response to him was, we didn't even know that there'd be a Holy Ghost. What are you talking about? You see, the early days of Pentecost, here's what they did. You see, the day of Pentecost, fast forward to about the 19th century, you have a band of Baptist brothers in the Appalachian Mountains of North Carolina and Tennessee, and they get together and they say, you know what? There's got to be something more to what we're experiencing than the everyday dry religion that we experience every Sunday. And they got together and they says, you know what? We're going to have a prayer meeting. And they begin to pray and seek the face of God. And suddenly, just like in the book of Acts, they record that a sound from heaven touched that place. And they were filled and baptized with the Holy Ghost and spoke with tongues and magnified God. Fast forward 20 years later, that group called the Christian Union became the Church of God, of which you and I are affiliated with today. Started up in the boondocks of Appalachian North Carolina, praise God, and it's still flourishing today with some 6 million people adhering to a couple Baptist brothers who got together and said, I just want to see a move of God. Now we see throughout the 20th century, in the 50s and 60s, you see the healing revival of men like A.A. Allen and William Branham and T.L. Lowry and R.W. Shanbach setting tents all over this country, seeing people healed, set free, saved by the power of God through healing, miracles, signs, and wonders. In the 1970s and 80s, Pentecostals took it to television. Trinity Broadcasting Network, Christian television swept this country. And then in the 90s and the 2000s, you see Pentecostals being called Neo-Pentecostals because they want to get away from mainline denominations who are legalistic. All they want to do is seek God and be holy and be righteous. I want to live a little bit. So they got a little loose and started independent works all over this country, and now you have them everywhere. And the problem with that is there's just no accountability. Any man can say what he wants to say when he wants to say it. I would argue that you need somebody to help you and put you in line when you need it. But in the early days, they took the message of Pentecost to the towns. Now we want to go to cities because that's where everybody is. But back in the day, they'd come to King. There was a Moravian church up the street, a Baptist church up the street, 4 or 5 Baptist churches up the street, a Methodist church up the road, a Presbyterian church in town, a Church of the Nazarenes, a Catholic church. So these Pentecostal brothers, they would come to town and they would preach the message of Pentecost, the message of the Holy Spirit. But we've gotten away from preaching the message. And now we've went to methodology to try to get people to come to church. And then when they get here, we're so scared we're going to offend them by the Holy Ghost, because you might get excited and take a lap around these pews or dance a little jig or speak with tongues. I've made up my mind. Go ahead and do it. My God, just do it. I want life. I would much rather have wildfire than no fire. And I don't say that cautiously anymore. Amen. Ah, praise God. In Acts 10, the Holy Ghost fell. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke with tongues. Acts 19, they said, we haven't heard that there be a Holy Ghost. And the Bible says that Paul laid his hands upon them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And guess what they did? Spoke with tongues and magnified God. Then we go to Acts chapter 8, and we read about Philip, the evangelist. He goes to Samaria, and he preaches the gospel to them. And the Bible said there was a man there who followed him around by the name of Simon, who was a sorcerer, who did great magic and sorcery in front of the people. He got saved. And all the people saw it, and they said, man, this is surprising, because he was one of the biggest sorcerers in town. But now he's renounced that, given his heart to Jesus Christ. But it didn't stop there. Peter and John heard about this revival in Samaria, all the way in Jerusalem. I guess they got a text. So they headed down to Samaria, and when they got there, they said, have you boys received the Holy Ghost? And the Bible says they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. But it does not say they spoke with tongues. But here's what it does say, that Simon, the sorcerer, saw something. Well, maybe he saw them being healed. He already saw that. Maybe he saw the devil cast out. He already saw it. Maybe he saw people just giving their heart to Christ, crying before God. He already saw it. What do you think he saw? Because the Bible says, he said, I want that gift. I want to whoever I lay hands on receive that. Receive what? And then the Bible says he tried to buy the gift of God with money. Oh, hallelujah. That's slick Simon. And the apostle says, you can't buy this gift with money. But what do you think he saw? Here's what I think he saw. I think he saw what happened in Acts chapter 2. I believe he saw what happened in Acts chapter 10. I believe he saw what happened in Acts chapter 19. And you say, Brother Atkins, do you believe that speaking with tongues is the evidence of a spirit baptism? Oh, yes, I do. And I'll put it to you like this. I would not want anything less than what happened in Acts chapter 2. I don't want anything less than what happened in Acts chapter 10. I don't want anything less than what happened in Acts chapter 19. I believe that it's for you and I today. Acts 2, look at verse 12. After this happened, the men from all the Judean area and the Roman Empire came, and they heard them speaking in their own language, magnifying God. Verse 12, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what does this mean? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. These are just a bunch of drunks. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose. In other words, he's saying, yeah, they're drunk. That's what he said. He says, yes, they're drunk, but not like you suppose. Not like you're used to. Because it's only the third hour of the day. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning, buddy. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters, who have sons and daughters in here, they shall prophesy and declare the works of God. Your old men will dream dreams. And let me tell you something. Why don't you dream something big? Why don't you believe God to fill this place up with those who are hurting and dying and destitute in need of a Savior, and then go out and get them? And your young men shall see visions. And upon my servants and handmaidens, the lowest of the low and the highest of the high, will I pour out my spirit upon them. What was he saying? He was saying, this is for everybody. Now, many of you, you spoke with tongues 20 years ago, but you haven't since. It's time to get a fresh infilling here. Amen. I know a lot of folks who get baptized again in water because maybe they went away from God and they've recommitted. And they want to show the world once again that they belong to Jesus. I believe we should do the same thing with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Maybe it's been a long time. Amen. A fresh infilling. Shout, I want it. All right. Praise God. Let's go to verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know, assuredly, that God hath made that same Jesus. Now, Peter starts preaching a sermon. Now, I want you to think about Peter for a moment. This Peter was a coward. He denied the Lord three times. He cussed out a little girl, said he didn't belong to Jesus. But he was Jesus' right-hand man, see. But here he is, after receiving the Holy Ghost, he's got the boldness to stand up and declare the gospel. Notice what he says. This same Jesus, God hath made the same Jesus to whom you crucified, Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children. The promise is only to the apostles and those who lived during the apostles' time. Is that what he said? The promise is to everybody that lives before the Bible is put together. That's what I've heard. No. He said, the promise is unto you, to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And he's called you. I'm telling you, nobody has ever been born to be lost. Nobody has ever been born that could not be saved. Every man, boy, and girl that has ever been born on this people planet has the opportunity to come to Jesus Christ and be born again. They came to him in darkness and left in light. They came to him in slavery and left in sonship. They came to him in bondage and left in freedom. They came to him leprous and left cleansed. They came to him in the powers of iniquity and left in the power of righteousness. They came to him sick and they left him healed. They brought the dead men to him and they left him alive. Oh, raise your hands and praise him for a moment. Verse 40, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received him and his word were baptized. And the same day were added about 3,000 souls. Boy, that started a good church right there. Great God. Amen. Go to Acts 4. I'm going to close with that. Listen. Something powerful happened on this day of Pentecost, because it commemorates the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. 50 days after Moses put the blood on the doorposts and they went into the wilderness, walked through the Red Sea on dry ground. They're in that wilderness. 50 days after that, he goes up on Mount Sinai. And he receives the tablets of stone with the Ten Commandments. And do you know the Bible says in the book of Exodus that 3,000 people lost their lives that day because of the power and the majesty of God. And he said, don't come near this mountain. But look at the converse of that in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Ghost now puts the law on our heart, and 3,000 come to the faith. Something powerful happened on that day. Amen? Do you want to be a powerful witness for God? You need the Holy Ghost. Do you want an effective prayer life? You need the Holy Ghost. Because there's going to come times you don't know how to pray. You don't know what the will of God is. But the Bible says that he will make intercession for you and through you with groanings that cannot be uttered. Languages you don't even understand. Words you can't even break forth. It may be a sign, a moan, a cry, or a tongue. But God knows exactly what it is. You know why? Because the Holy Ghost is praying the perfect will of God for you and through you and in you. Shout yes. Acts chapter 4. I'm going to close with this. Amen. My daughter asked my wife one time, what does Daddy mean when he says he's closing? And she looked at her and said, doesn't mean a thing in the world. Amen. All right. Praise God. I think I'm doing good here. Acts 4, verse 1. Now, Peter and John, they're fired up, full of the Holy Ghost. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, put them in jail for the night, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them were, which heard the word, believed. And the number of the men was about 5,000. Shout amen. Amen. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, Alexander, as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, say, yes, he is. And then say, yes, I am. Said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, referring to chapter 3, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Hallelujah. To be Pentecostal means that you place preeminence on the Lord Jesus Christ. Pentecost, being Pentecostal is more than talking in tongues. It's more than a shout and a dance. Being Pentecostal means that you declare the lordship of Jesus Christ. And that he is the center of your witnessing, your preaching, your teaching. Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's what Peter was doing. He said, it's in the name of Jesus Christ this man stands here. Verse 11, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. Oh, I'm about to shout. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And a Pentecostal believer understands that, that Jesus Christ is the way, truth, and life. Verse 14, and beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they couldn't say a word. Let this place fill up. Let people start getting healed, set free from addiction and bondage. They can call me crazy all they want to, but they can't deny what's happening in people's lives. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. They can't deny it. We will not be a church that's dying. We will not be a church that's dry and cold. And it all starts with you. It starts with a sacrifice of praise from your mouth, lifting it up to God, claiming that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. Give him a hand clap of praise. Amen. All right. I'm going to finish up here. So the council converted, verse 16, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. Don't you wish somebody could say that? But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in his name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. What if somebody told you that? But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge me for that. I don't care. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. In other words, he was saying, I'm so full of the Holy Ghost, I can't help but talk about Jesus Christ. Verse 23, being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and the elders said unto them. Jump down to verse 28. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Hallelujah. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken. My God in heaven, are you reading what I'm reading? Oh, yes, they were baptized in Acts chapter 2, but I look back in Acts chapter 4 just a couple of weeks later, and they're being filled again. The place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. And this is my prayer for this church. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that had aught the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Verse 34, neither was there any among them that lacked. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. If you're watching by internet, listening by podcast, we challenge you today that you would simply surrender your life to Jesus Christ. And I believe that God, through Jesus Christ, will baptize you in the Holy Ghost today. I believe that. In fact, everybody in this congregation, just stretch your hand toward that camera back there. Let's believe God to do it right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, as they accept you and surrender their lives, I pray that you would give them a fresh infilling, a fresh baptism of the Spirit, and let them feel your anointing and your power right where they are. In Jesus' name, fill them with the Holy Ghost. Give them the light gift of speaking with tongues in the prayer language. In Jesus' name, everybody shout yes. Thank you for watching and listening. Praise God.